Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Why don't you begin opening your Bibles to Psalms 98? That's where we're going to be today. Psalm 98. This past week, one of the young pastors out there, and I'm finally reaching the age where I can say young pastor, and it means younger than I am. And that's awesome. One of the young pastors that I spend time with from time to time posted on Facebook a new song written by Phil Wickham, a new song called What an Awesome God. And he said, man, the lyrics in the song are great, and particularly I love that Phil got the heartbeat of the chorus, which are these lyrics. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. You catch this yet? So then another one of my pastor buddies says, no, Phil didn't write that. Michael W. Smith wrote that. I'm a music snob, and so I did what every good God-fearing pastor does. I pushed up my nerd glasses, and I said, no, Rich Mullins wrote that. Thank you. Anyways, there's a few of you out there that are like, no, I knew it. Yeah, me too. So both of them were incredibly wrong because neither of them got the right author. You see, the person that writes songs should get the credit. There's this pivotal part in Scripture in the middle of Zephaniah. This won't be on the screen. This is just extra credit. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. Meaning this, the God that crafted the sun, moon, and stars, the canyons and the mountains, the oceans and the lakes, sings over us, rejoicing in the fact that we are his. It's crazy. I think if anything, we need to attribute the true authorship that God is the original singer of songs. It's powerful. Psalm 98 says this, sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Be jubilant. Shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with the lyre and melodious song, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout triumphantly in the presence of our Lord, our King. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the oceans shout together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly. I just want you just to take a moment just to see the artistry of Psalm 98 for a second. I think too often we read through Scripture and we don't capture the moments. Most of Psalms were written lyrically. They were written to be sung. And so when you can just see this as it kind of crescendos and builds, it just says, everything, listen to the song that God is singing. He is triumphant. He is majestic. He is the King. He is the Lord. And even if you're not going to sing, at least echo back. Amen. So the other day, as we were preparing for concerts, I took the minivan, the church minivan, and ran a quick trip and came back and parked it on the far side of our lot. Nothing's in the parking lot. And I shut the door, and as I shut the door, it went chunk, and against the building, it echoed back, gunk. And I hit the parking, kind of center, honked at it, honk, and then it honked off the building, gunk. We are to echo the song of our God in our lives, in our deeds, in our actions, and certainly as his church, we must be the group that echoes the greatness of God in our generation. Amen. Because we want the next generation to catch it as well, and then the next generation. When church becomes the true church, We take up the song of our Savior. And when we do that, we start to see that the world actually does want to listen to that song. Having a friend in the music industry, I can tell you that there's true fear when you release a song. You don't know if the world's going to receive it and it's going to be a hit or if it's going to be a bust. And your whole livelihood depends upon people listening to your music and wanting to listen again. You know, it used to be that you could gauge this by if they went and bought your CD or your record or your audio tape. But we live in a new generation that it's all about time listened to and downloaded from. So let me just give you a quick tool today for those of y'all that use streaming services. If you love an artist, download it into your library. Here's why. That supports them. That's how we get behind artists we love now. It used to be you would just go buy their record, right? But now this is how we support them. This is how they make money now. And that's terrifying. Listen, this is the greatness of the gospel. It started long before we could ever imagine a promised Savior who would come and rescue his people, God's handiwork, from an oppressor. So many thought that this would be the Romans or the Babylonians. You name it, they gave a list for it, but they didn't understand that our greatest oppressor is not one that sits on a throne of a kingdom, but one who kills and steals and destroys. And so when Jesus shows up, he frees us from the greatest oppressor of all, us and our enemy. He frees us from our fleshly desires. He frees us from our worldly thinking. And he frees us from an oppressor who does nothing more than want to take from you. And he came and gave us life. He gives us life by dying for us and rising from the dead, so even death falls at his feet. Isaiah tells us that, and we'll get to that passage here in a minute, but let's start by talking about a particular moment in Psalms 98. It says in verse 1, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him the victory." There is significance to the right hand of God. We see this in Scripture. Psalm 18 tells us this: "With the faithful, you prove yourself faithful. With the blameless, you prove yourself blameless. With the pure, you prove yourself pure. But with the crooked, you prove yourself shrewd. For you have rescued an oppressed people, but you humble those with haughty eyes. Lord, you light my lamp. My God, illuminate my darkness. With you, I can attack a barricade, and with my God, I can leap over a wall. God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock? Only our God. God, he clothes me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me securely on the heights. He trains my hands for war. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand upholds me, and your humility exalts me. You make a spacious place beneath me for my steps, and my ankles do not give way." David understood this. Isaiah says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Don't be afraid, for I'm your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will hold you with my righteous right hand." Amen. This does not mean that God is right-handed, by the way. Even though if you're left-handed in the room, come to Jesus. My sister will listen to this later and be like, "How dare you?" It does mean that there's significance to God being on our side. Creation declares the glory of God, and so should we. It says that in this passage that God is crying out to sing a new song, to declare his victory, to remember his love and his faithfulness. And it asks for the listener to join the song. And then it says, then let the sea do it. Let the world do it. Let the rivers do it. Let the mountains do it. Let the whole earth do this. Sing the song. It means something that we should learn to be singers to God. This does not mean that you need to have a voice doesn't mean that you need to go on American Idol to find yourself. What it does mean is that in your life and in my life, we should learn to be people of praise, people of thanksgiving before God. Even in the midst of the worst, we need to learn to praise Him. Amen. We have discovered that even in our best, we don't. And this is our problem. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. There is no speech and there are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to the whole earth and the words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming from his home. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise." You and I need to find the song. You ever have those moments where a song hits your head but you don't know what it is? And you hum it out. What is that song? So you find a friend. Do you know this song? And they're like, "You're crazy." So then you find that friend that knows music. Hey, do you know this song? They go to a piano. Dun, 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 dun. No. God. You ask Siri, what's this song? Dun, 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 dun. Somebody's phone's going to do it, by the way. Only to discover that it's like the theme song to the Munsters. And you go, "That's what was in my head?" Then you pray, "Lord, help me. I've got Munsters on the brain." We need to learn the song of God because it matters. And let me tell you how to find it. This is how you find the music that God is singing over His planet. It's very easy. The song that God is singing is Jesus. And if we will spend time with Him, we will pick up His song. This doesn't mean you're going to all of a sudden become a recording artist. But if you do, residual check to the church at Quell Creek. 801 Tascosa Road. It just means this, that when you find yourself becoming singers and worshipers of God, it'll never leave your lips. It can't. It becomes a swelling moment. It stirs in your soul all of a sudden. A few years back, one of my buddies, and this is several years ago now, said, "Hey, have you heard this song that this particular artist sings with this particular artist?" And I was like, "No." I said, "Oh, I'm going to send you a YouTube video." And I don't know if your friends are like this in your life, but my friends send me a lot of YouTube. And so in this particular time, I push play and I sit back. And for the first time in my life, I had heard "The Prayer" by Bocelli and Celine Dion. Any of y'all heard this? If you haven't, when you go home today, grab some tissues, lean back, and push play. I'll promise you two things. Number one, I don't know what language Bocelli sings in this particular song. Somebody, y'all yell it out. Italian, whatever. It's Italian. I knew it all along. And Celine sings in English, but I think it's more Canadian. Anyways, but it is beautiful. And it swells, and it swells, and it gets to this moment where it drops out and their voices are being heard and both can sing so well. And every time that hits for me, tears well up and I realize I'm not that kind of singer. Like I couldn't do that. But every time I listen to it, I close my eyes and that prayer begins to be prayed in my life as I hear it. And I start to go, "God, be honored." And then I watched the video back one time without my eyes closed and just watched the crowd. And they're at a concert to celebrate Bocelli, to let him be the artist in place. And I don't know how many songs he had sung that day that were just his or different songs, but in this moment, it was a paused moment to declare, "Lord, hear our prayer." And man, it just stirs my soul. This is what happens when you and I become singers to God. It doesn't matter the audience. around us. It matters the one to whom we sing. Amen. This is how you and I find the song. It matters. We must never forget that Jesus is a righteous judge. This matters. When we go back to Psalms 98, we hear it in verse 8, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly. John chapter 5, Jesus is speaking, he says this, truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed. And just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to them he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen. Who judges the world? Jesus. Jesus is given the authority to judge the world. Amen. Because of that, I can just tell you, today, you should know him. He is a fair judge. He is a loving judge. And what else you need to know about this judge is he willfully died for you. So this judge made a way of your escape. This judge made a way for your peace. This judge made a way for your joy. And it's found in him. And so one day when this world ends, we will stand before that judge either as a son and daughter or as the accused. And that matters. Amen. It matters today that you put your hope and trust in Christ. It matters because there's a song being sung. When I was little, my paternal grandmother, Peggy, we called her Meanie. I don't know why. Maybe the sweetest woman on the planet. She used to sing a song all the time. She would be in the kitchen or in the living room with us, and she always sang Doris Day's Bushel and a Peck. I love you, bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck. A hug around the neck and a barrel and a heap. Barrel and a heap and I'm talking in my sleep about you. One day, April and I were walking around a store and there was a framed artwork of the lyrics of Bushel and a Peck. So we bought it instantly. Hangs in our house. There's not a day that goes by that I don't see that and think of my grandmother who is in heaven. It just made me think that song that she sung in living rooms and in kitchens is being sung in my cousins' homes, in my uncles and aunts' homes, and now in grandkids' homes, all because a song was sung by somebody that we loved. And so that love carries through the song. You see, when God sings over his people, he sings a song of redemption, a song of love, a song of the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. And you and I as people, we can hear it and turn it off. We can shift to another song that's about us, about our self-worth, about our self-loathing, whatever it may be. Or we can take up the song of the Creator and sing something like, how great is our God. Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. What a friend we have in Jesus. Do you see it yet, friend? You need to learn the song of the Creator who calls you to his Son and who saves you by his death, burial, and resurrection. And today you can take our brokenness, our worthlessness, all of our stuff, and we can lay it at the feet of Jesus who absolutely not only forgives that sin, but he also cleanses us and sets us on a path. And the most amazing thing about God is this. He forgets the sin forgiven. Amen. Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. And today you can be saved by him. So why wouldn't you give him your everything? Learn the song. Become a singer. Give him your life today. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would move in this room. God, that your voice would be the greatest one heard. And Lord, that you would do what only you can do. And that is save people. Lord, it's not by our works, not by anything that we can do, lest we would boast in it. But it's only about you, Lord. So Lord, we ask that you would speak. Remind us that we are saved by grace through faith that we can't even come up with. It's a gift. And so today, you say the thing you've always said, whosoever will may come. So every person in this room, man, woman, boy, and girl, can come to you today and be saved. It's not about our backstory. It's about yours. You have saved us in spite of us because you love us. So take all of us, Lord. We want to hear the song. We want to sing it with our lives. God, we give you this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.